I mean, become something special. I think about all the ice skaters and gymnasts, and I think about all the football players and just people in general that I've known through the years. And I've never known really anybody who went on to be something great and awesome and unexplainable. A few people, I knew them after they became that. But you know, we all have an opportunity either just to be mediocre and blend in with the crowd, or we all have the same opportunity to stand up and be something great, awesome, and unexplainable for the glory of God. But now the difference in that really is discipline. If you've got your Bible with you tonight, do y'all read the Bible? You do? Good. 4 or 5 of you do. I like that. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5 is a great book of the Bible because it talks to folks that that have had so much teaching that they've just become basically fat babies. You know what I mean? They've got so much teaching that they've never done anything with, and they should have become something great by now, but they're not. And so look with me in chapter 5 of the book of Hebrews. It's on page 1735, okay? All right, verse 11. They're talking here, of course, about the Lord Jesus. And the writer of Hebrews says, of whom, talking about Jesus, of whom we have many things to say, but they are hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. For when the time ought to be, you ought to be teachers, you have need now that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you're become such that need milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He's a baby. But strong meat belongs to them that are full of age, and those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know how to know the Lord's will for your life and how to find the right mate? Just get in the Word. All the answers are right here. I have been asked so many times over the years, and I fell kind of into that trap when I was in college myself. Oh, how can I really know what the will of God is for my life? Because you're right here now, and you're getting an education, and you want to do that thing that God's got for you. I mean, man, you want to be whatever it is you want to be, you know. You want to be that, and you want to go get something for God and do something awesome. But really, what is God's will for my life? And we act like God is some guy that plays hide-and-seek with us. And God says, no, I'm not going to tell you yet. You got to be 60 before I really tell you. You know, the Lord doesn't do that. I mean, He wants you to know what His will is. And His will is in His Word for you. And the more you're in the Word, the more you know what His will is. The more you learn how to listen to Him. Just like this a minute ago, when I was reading out of the King James Version of the Bible, some of you thought, boy, that's hard to understand. Really? People often say that to me. I just don't understand the Bible. Well, what is it about the Bible you don't understand? Oh, the language of the Bible. Oh, what language is it in? English. Oh, you don't understand it? Oh, I don't understand King James English. Which word is it you don't understand? They always say, thither. That's a nice word. I like that. Yeah, say that with me. Thither. Sound like something a snake does when he has a tongue problem. Amen? Thither. But you know, the more you read the Bible, even if you're reading the Bible in King James, the more you understand it. And the more you understand it, the more you grow. The more you grow, the more you know. The more you know His will. And so, my challenge tonight is for you to become a person who is thither. Think you can do that? A person who's disciplined. A person who's in the Word of God to become something awesome. Now, I know how we are at studying the Bible. You know, you're studying all kinds of things right now. I mean, you guys are just studying tons of stuff, some of you more than others, obviously. But as you study this stuff, man, some of this stuff that you study, you're really getting it down. Some of it's passing by, and you got so much stuff going on in your mind that you think, now, I need to read the Bible every day, and you do that. But, boy, it's one of these real quick, just read a line or a verse. I started doing that when I was in high school. I was saved when I was 15 years old, and I noticed, Brother Max, that we had the envelopes. Remember, we'd check them. There were 8 or 9 different things on the envelope. And if you were going to be a 17-point Baptist or whatever it was, you had to check everything. And I mean, it was Bible brought, worship attendance, Sunday school, giving, slapped a preschooler, whatever, you know. Bible read daily was one of those. And boy, I remember every night, and when I was in high school, I would read my Bible every night just so I could check that envelope. Bible read daily. And oh, I was spiritual now. I would go to the Word of God and I would really seek God to find out the gem of truth that He had for me. I'd let it flop open and I'd point to it and it said, The tongue of the suckling child cleaved to the roof of his mouth for thirst. Now, boy, that'll bless your life, won't it? I read my verse, and I put it away. Now, some of you are doing that. Don't look at me like you're spiritual now. Some of you are doing that. Every night, you just before you turn out the lights, you drop your finger and you read a verse and it says something weird about Melchizedek. And you have no idea what's going on in the rest of the Bible. I mean, that's like a little hot, sweaty, tired, hungry 10-year-old boy coming in the house and his mother has a dishpan full of peanut M&Ms rounded off as high as she can possibly get them. They're sitting on the table. Did you ever go in the house and your mother had a dishpan full of peanut M&Ms? Well, imagine what would have happened if you had done that. I know you would have died before morning, okay? But now, can you imagine that 10-year-old boy going in and getting one, just a blue one, gets a blue M&M, eats it, and walks away? Would that happen? Oh, no, absolutely not. Obviously, you're... If a kid can do that, his cheese is done slid off his cracker, okay? That's not possible. He cannot do that. What happens? What would you do if you're hungry and you go in and you got a dishpan full of peanut M&M's set in the middle of the table? Man, you're filling up your pockets and your buddy's pockets. You're filling up your socks. You're carrying both shoes. They're full of them, you know. Man, you can get all you can. See, that's the way it ought to be with the Word of God. The Word of God gives you strength to be all you can be. And you don't have to be in the army to do that either. I mean, man, the Word of God makes you mighty in spirit. It strengthens your life. It makes you not just somebody who understands the basics, but somebody who understands the deeper things of God. And no longer do you just desire that which is milk. You know, after you've been a Christian for really a relatively short time, and I can say that because it's relative to you. For some people, it's a matter of weeks. For some people, it's a matter of months. It shouldn't be a matter of years, really, for anybody. But after a while, you should understand the basic foundational things of Christianity and really know how to reach the Lord in prayer, how to understand God's will, all those kind of things, because you've been in the Word. And some of you are still desiring to understand the basic things, but you've been saved for 275 years. I go into these churches. I preach in churches all over the country, and I'll open the Word of God, and I'll start teaching them some deep spiritual truth, and senior adults will come up and say, "Our church is not ready for that." Oh, really? How old is your church? Oh, we celebrated our 100th anniversary last year. And I want to ask them, well, when are you going to get ready for this? 100 years and you're not ready for the deeper spiritual truths of God? That's because we're fat babies. We're just desiring the milk. A lot of times when I preach to churches, I can see them looking at me like, "What? Just tell us not to smoke or chew or watch NYPD Blue. Don't tell us that deep stuff. We're not ready for that." You see, they're desiring the milk. You see, physically, you probably don't have much desire for milk anymore, do you? I mean, have you ever been just real hot and tired like this summer when it was so hot? And you just think, man, if I could just have a real good old bottle of milk. Do you ever just wish you could have a good old bottle of milk? Well, of course you don't. You've moved on past that. You desire everything. Look out now. I know something. Don't be desiring that stuff either. See, we grow spiritually to desire the great things of God because we understand the simple things of God and build them up in our life. But now, if we're not disciplined enough to really get in the Word and really grow, you're never going to become what God wants you to become. You're not going to have the ministry. You're not going to have the mission. You're not going to have the mate. You're not going to have any of those things that the Lord wants you to have until you get in the Word and learn the roadmap how to find them. But now, that takes some discipline. But now, listen to me. This, what I'm talking to you about tonight, is the hardest thing in the world for a Christian to do. Okay? The hardest thing that you'll do for the rest of your life is have a regular quiet time. Yeah, that's the hardest thing you can do. I mean, you can study physics, you can study football, you can study Mark McGuire's stroke. You can study all... Stroke? He had a stroke? For you pre-med students, that's the swing of the bat, okay? You can study all those things. And boy, the devil doesn't mind at all for you to study those things. But the thing he does not want you to do is to have a regular time with the Lord in the Word of God, because you start growing strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and you start knowing the will of God, you start doing the will of God, you start changing your generation. And so, man, you can study everything else, but when it comes to studying the Word on a regular basis and growing in it and understanding it, it will be difficult because the devil doesn't want you to do it. And that's why the word disciple starts with the word that means discipline. That means you've got to make yourself do it. Have you ever had to make yourself do anything? Like get up this morning? Any of you have 8 o'clock class? We can tell they're all asleep now. You see, discipline means you make yourself do something that your flesh doesn't want to do, but you know in your mind and your heart that it's the very best thing that you could do. And it's amazing how much you can do when you learn to be a real disciple through discipline. Because sometimes it's going to hurt. Sometimes it's painful. Man, I was in Atlanta, Georgia this morning at 4:45 when the alarm clock went off, and trust me, it was painful. But I had to get up, I had to get to that airport, and get back home. And so discipline gets you where you want to go, but most of all, discipline gets you where the Lord wants you to be. If you'll learn that now, by the time you get down the road, man, you come so much further. I brought my guitar with me tonight, and some of you have heard this illustration with a guitar before, but I started when I was just about 8 years old, hearing on the radio a couple of artists, good godly people, called Elvis and the Beatles. Have y'all ever heard of Elvis or the Beatles? Yeah, 4 or 5 of you have. That's good. And when I started hearing Elvis and the Beatles on the radio, I told my mother, I said, Mom, if you'll get me a guitar, I'd love to learn how to play like Elvis and the Beatles. And she said, well, if I get you a guitar and you learn to play, you need to learn to play some godly music. And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, you need to learn to play like Chet Atkins. And I said, just exactly like you're thinking now, who's that? She said, oh, he's the greatest guitar player in all the world. I said, well, if he's the greatest guitar player in all the world, I certainly want to learn how to play like him. And so if you'll get me a guitar, I'll learn how to play like Chet Atkins. I'll learn how to play like Elvis and the Beatles and everybody else. And so when I was 10, my mother got me a guitar. Not this one, but a guitar, okay? And so when I got that guitar, I wanted to learn how to play. Now, I had an uncle whose name was Joe. And I'm not talking about the guy on Petticoat Junction, okay? My Uncle Joe was 6 months younger than me. Now, don't look at me like that. I'm from the hills of Arkansas, and sometimes that happens in your family, okay? I'm from so far back up in the hills, I'm related to myself, okay? Anyway, my Uncle Joe was more like a brother to me than he was an uncle. And I mean, we were always in competition. And he wouldn't let me get anything or do anything that he didn't try to do better. And when I got a guitar, he just had to have one. And so he got one, and we both went to my granddad and asked my granddad to teach us how to play, because we knew he knew how to play guitar at least a little bit. And so we bugged my granddaddy enough until he showed us how to play an E chord. Now I'm going to play an E chord for you, and you're going to be impressed. Are you ready? Okay. You can adjust the sound when I play this chord, all right? Watch this. Here it is. Now, is that cool or what? Okay? All right, now. But it didn't sound like that when we first played it. That's what it sounded like, okay? You're going to have to give me a little bit of sound. Now, when we first started playing that E chord, it took us a while. In fact, 3 solid weeks, we played nothing but that one E chord. Do you think you could set for 21 days? Same chord. At the end of that 3 weeks, my grandmother's getting this faraway look in her eyes. Well, at the end of that 3 weeks, I went back to my granddad and we said, Granddaddy, we got this E chord down, but this doesn't sound like Elvis or the Beatles. And it sure doesn't sound like Chet Atkins, especially if he's the best guitar player in the world. My granddad said, well, what you need is some fancy picking in the right hand. And so my granddad showed us how to play some fancy picking in the right hand. That's his hand over here on this side. Okay? This is what he showed us how to do. Oh, we're rocking now. Three more weeks. E chord, fancy picking in the right hand. At the end of that 3 weeks, which was 6 weeks total, my grandmother's been gone for 2 weeks. Nobody knows where she is. Something else happened at the end of that 6 weeks. My Uncle Joe decided that he didn't want to learn any new chords because his fingers were hurting too badly. Now, how many of you started to learn how to play guitar because you were going to be like Placido Domingo with a guitar, and you quit because your fingers cried every night? Several of you? Well, my Uncle Joe decided he would just keep that E chord, and he'd let me learn the other chords, and when I got back to E, he would play right along with me. Okay? So I went back to my granddad, and I said, Granddad, the E chord, we've conquered this dude, okay? Now, I need to learn a new chord so grandmother come back. So he taught me how to change from an E chord to an A chord. Are you ready? Can you hear it back in the back? Okay, they can. Keep your seat now. Okay? E chord to an A chord. Here it is. Oh, isn't that better? What a relief. My grandmother had a charismatic experience. First time she ever heard me play an A chord. Man. Now, my Uncle Joe would wait for me to finish playing the A chord, and as soon as I finished playing the A chord and I got back to E, well, then he'd play right along with me, okay? He just waited on me. He was a very patient fella. But he didn't want to suffer the pain or take the time or the discipline to learn any new chords, so he just played E chord, just that one chord. That's all he ever learned. Well, after a while of changing from E to A, I went back to my granddad, and I said, Granddad, I've got this down. Now I can change from E to A. And I need to learn another chord. He said, okay, I'll show you the last chord I know. So he showed me a B7 chord. And he showed me how to change from an E to an A back to a B7 chord. Now here it is, the hardest basic chord on the guitar to play. Isn't that cool? I said, now Granddaddy, that doesn't sound much like Elvis or the Beatles. It does sound a little bit like Johnny Cash. Oh boy. Woo! We'll get us a black shirt and go to Nashville now. Hey, we got it happening, okay? Well, I showed that to my Uncle Joe, and he just waited on me while I did all that. When I got back to the E, well, then he'd just play right along with me, because that's the only chord he knew, was just that one E chord, and he never played it quite as fast as I let it get that time, okay? Well, I went on into high school. After junior high, I learned a few things along the way. Went on into high school, and I still want to learn how to play like Elvis and the Beatles, but my granddaddy was, I mean, he was born before the Dead Sea got sick, and he didn't even know who Elvis and the Beatles were, you know. He didn't know who these people were, and so, are y'all laughing at my granddaddy? Anyway, he didn't know who they were, and so he didn't know how to teach me that stuff, so I got my chords down pretty good, and one day I went to a Casa Bonita restaurant. Now, that was a Mexican food restaurant. We used to have one here in Oklahoma City. This particular one was in Little Rock, Arkansas. Okay? Now, do you know what Casa Bonita is? Oh, you do? People are having a charismatic experience of their own now, huh? I like that. Okay. Well, you know, Casa Bonita, you run that little flag up the pole. I'd always get a table that had two flags so I could have one up at all times. And they'll bring you as many tacos or tamales or whatever you want. And they would assign one crew of waitresses just to me. And I was between, 75, 80 orders of tacos, whatever. And little Mexican fellow, you remember how the little Mexican guy used to come through with the guitar? And he came into the room that I was eating in, and he stopped a couple of tables away, and he did this. He went. I said, that's an E chord, isn't it? He said, C. I said, no. Now, C is like this. I made that guy stand there for about 30 minutes doing that. So I could take it home and show it to my Uncle Joe. I showed it to him. He said, I can do that. That's all he ever learned how to play, is just that one chord. Just that one E chord. And that's all he played for anything. Well, I went on through high school, got into high school. One day went in the high school auditorium. Nobody was in there but one guy. His name was Ted, and he was sitting on the front of the stage in the high school auditorium, and he was playing a guitar, and this is what he was doing. He was going. I said, that's Elvis and the Beatles, man. Show that to my Uncle Joe. I can do that. That's all he ever learned to play, just that one chord. Played right along with me all the time, even when I was in a different key. Played that one chord. Well, man, when I got into college, I got to the point during the time I studied music in college. My first degree was in music. And I got to where I could apply that to the guitar, and I could take stuff right off of the radio. I learned all kinds of things, different things along the way. Stuff like, you probably hadn't heard any of this stuff. Stuff like... What do you listen to music like that for? But just all kind of things. You might have heard something like... Keep your seat now, I'm telling you. But I learned to play all that stuff from my Uncle Joe, still. All he could play, just that one chord. He's 42 years old today, and he can only play that one chord. That's it. Just that E chord. Well, 1993, I was speaking at a youth camp in Dallas, at Mount Lebanon encampment, Discovery Week. And I found a teenager sitting underneath a tree there out by a retaining wall. He was playing a guitar. And he was playing. But now, I got to tell you, my mother got upset with me along the way. When I was in my mid-30s, my mom came to me once and she said, "You lied to me, didn't you?" I said, "Mom, me?" I knew that I had, but I wasn't sure which one she's talking about. Hey, don't look at me like you're spiritual. You've done the same thing, okay? She said, "You told me when you were 8 years old, if I'd get you a guitar, you'd learn how to play like Chet Atkins. And you still hadn't learned how to play like Chet Atkins." I said, "Mom, that's the hardest kind of guitar playing in the whole world to do." She said, "A deal is a deal, and you still got the guitar." And so I had to learn how to play like Chet Atkins. I started looking everywhere. Finally, 1993, I found a guy in Texas who could play like Chet Atkins. And he was sitting there under that tree at that camp, and he was playing this. He was going. I said, "That's Chet Atkins, isn't it?" He said, "No, man, it's me." I said, "Show me how to do that." And he said, "Well, it's very simple. All you got to do is go..." And sure enough, this is all you got to do right here. And if you get good enough, you can even talk while you're doing it. Now, I showed that to my Uncle Joe. You know, one day, while the Lord was allowing me just to play a guitar, while I was worshiping Him and just really lifted Him up. You know, He says praise Him on a stringed instrument. Something came to my mind and my heart, and I started thinking about my Uncle Joe and how he could only play one chord. And all those years I had played and I had practiced and I had learned just about anything I wanted to do on a guitar, and my Uncle Joe could still just play one chord. And you know, I believe that the Holy Spirit of God began to impress on my heart that there are a lot of one-chord Christians out there. Oh yeah, they're saved. and they carry a Bible. Oh, they go to church. But you know, they never really get very deep in that Word. They never really learn how to witness. They don't really get a vision for the mission of their life and to do something great for God. They just kind of one-chord Christian. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you a one-chord Christian? Or are you somebody that God can use to make beautiful music with? Oh, I'm not talking about playing an instrument. I'm talking about being an instrument. I'm talking about being somebody that God can reach down for your life and touch your life and change an entire generation just because you were willing to walk with Him and do what He wanted you to do, get in the Word, stay in the Word, learn how to study, learn how to be what God wants you to be because you know how to witness, because you know how to be everything to Him just because you took the time. Well, let me challenge you tonight. Be somebody that God can use because you take the time and the discipline and bear the pain if you have to. But whatever you do, don't be a one-chord Christian.